Welcome back to the Animal House. I'm Sam Litzinger with Dr. Gary Weitzman of the San Diego Humane Society. He'll answer your animal-related questions at 1-877-610-3647. That's 877-610-3647. You can also send us your questions or your comments using our website, wamuanimalhouse.org. Photos of your animals are appreciated as well. We like to see those. Let's take a telephone call from Ernie, who's calling us from San Diego, California. Ernie, glad to have you with us in the Animal House. Question for Dr. Gary?
Thank you so much. Dr. Gary, thank you for taking my call.
Sure, of course.
My name is Ernie, and the cat in question is, his name is Chico Baby Gansito.
What's his name?
Oh.
Chico Baby Gansito.
Chico Baby Gansito. That's a great name for a cat. That's wonderful.
That's what we haven't heard before.
I think that's
Sam.
Unique,
right,
Ernie?
Yeah.
Congratulations. Yeah. So what is the problem with Chico Baby Gansito?
Well, I have four cats. They're rescued. About 4 years ago, I rescued one of them. Unfortunately, all of them contracted a bad upper respiratory infection.
Upper respiratory infection? Okay.
Yeah, one of them unfortunately died. Chico Baby Gansito got into anorexia due to that that illness. And I struggled like 4 months about him getting into eating. Fortunately, he recovers after 4 months, and now he's really hyperactive. The only thing he reminded with some allergies has a congested nose. So I was wondering what kind of treatment I can give him.
Oh, I get it, Ernie.
Ernie, is he on medication now, by the way?
No, he's not.
Okay, so we'd be starting from scratch on this one, Gary.
He's what, about 4 years old now?
No. He's 13 years old.
But he's 13 years old?
An older guy, okay.
Yeah, he's really hyperactive. It looked like he wore like 6 months or 1 year old.
Oh, that's great. Has he had this for, you know, since he was a kitten?
No. It's actually right after the upper respiratory infection.
Oh, okay. And how long ago was the upper respiratory infection?
About 4 years ago.
Oh, all right. So he's had it kind of on and off since then, or all the time?
All the time, especially right after he wakes up.
Okay.
After sleeping, he gets a little bit congested nose and it needs.
Yeah. Well, you know, a lot of cats do. What we worry about with upper respiratory infections is that they can get, they're obviously, you know, they're viral. They can get secondarily compounded by bacterial infections on top of that. And then, you know, we can treat the bacteria, but we don't usually treat the virus. It just runs its course. Some cats, however, get chronic infections. And it sounds like possibly that's what's happened with Chico. Of course, have you gone to your vet and had an exam and had gotten their advice?
Yeah, but that was a long time ago, and they said they didn't know what kind of upper respiratory infection would have been.
I think at this point it probably doesn't matter what it was. It's only a question of how to treat what it is now. And there's a couple ways. So that's what you're asking. Yeah. How do we make Chico feel a little bit better? I think I would recommend absolutely that you go back to your vet just to check Chico out and make sure that there's nothing, you know, that requires an antibiotic. Because a lot of cats that get chronic colds like this, you know, the conjunctivitis in the eyes, the stuffed up or runny nose, they actually usually maintain a really healthy level, even though they might have that infection, until something just pushes them over the edge, like a bacteria getting in there. So a lot of these cats actually need to have antibiotics, you know, on and off. It's probably a good idea for you to go to your vet to talk to him or her about that. So let's make sure the antibiotic is there if he needs it. The other thing, though, is that sometimes, especially for the eyes, they require antiviral medications. So those are drops that you can actually put in the eyes that your vet can prescribe as well. But many times these cats actually do really well with nothing. And, you know, there's other things if you want to stay kind of more holistic or more vitamin oriented. You know, there's things that you can give on a chronic basis that actually help cats boost the immune system a little bit. That may be a really good thing to talk to your vet about for Chico Baby, because it may just mean that he needs a little bit of a boost there to battle that chronic infection. So Ernie, I think you have a trip to your vet ahead of you, because there's a lot of things your veterinarian should be able to help you with this 13-year-old. Make him a little more comfortable, but also just to, you know what you can use in the future, just to maybe call for a refill, or, you know, maybe lysine is the medication that I was referring to that actually can help boost their immune systems a little bit. And that you can just get all the time from your vet. So I think you got to, I think it's time to go see your vet with this cat.
Okay. Thank you so much.
Okay. And report back. Yeah. Let us know how it goes with Chico baby, will you?
I will.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Good luck.
Let's take another telephone call. Our telephone number is 1-877-610-3647. Our website is WAMUAnimalHouse.org. This is Elizabeth calling from Arlington, Virginia. Elizabeth, glad to have you with us in the Animal House. Question for Dr. Gary?
Yes. I have two Shar Tays, and one is 10 years old, and the other one we think is about six. She's a rescue. We got her last year.
So what's your dog's name, the one that you're most concerned about now?
That would be Jazzy.
Okay. And what's Jazzy's problem is what?
They have a yard, and I also take them for two walks. One in the morning and one in the afternoon. But Jazzy has a little bit more energy because she's a little bit younger. So occasionally we take her to the dog park.
Okay.
And she loves the dog park, and she loves to chase other dogs. But unfortunately, in order to get them to run, she will bark at them. And she barks in their faces. They don't understand that she's saying, "I want to play. Please run with me." They think that there's a 50-pound dog.
They're annoyed.
They think, yeah, why are you barking annoyed in my face?
yeah. Who invited you to this cocktail party? Has she been doing this pretty much since you've had her?
She's gotten a little bit worse, and it's happened basically the last two times we were at the dog park, she got bit. And the problem is, well, one of the problems is she getting bit, and the second one is we don't know that it happened. We will look at her. The fur is thick. She never yelps. And so we get home and we're like, oh, she's got a tear. And the Shar Tay skin is very delicate because of the collagen. And so it tears pretty easily.
Did she get bit, do you think, because the dogs are annoyed with her? Or was there just a random aggressive dog there?
Mostly, I think they're just annoyed.
Okay. I've got that dog, too. His name is
Jake. It's the face barking thing, yeah.
Yeah, that'll do it. There's not a whole lot you're going to be able to do about this, I'm afraid, to be perfectly honest. You could bring her to a class for reactive dogs, and she's actually probably a pretty good candidate for it because she's not really aggressive. She just starts barking at them. The only problem is, I don't think she can control this. I think her this is total conjecture from what you're saying, but I think the button just goes on once she gets to a dog park because she's so excited, overjoyed to be there. It just clicks in, and that's her reaction. She barks. How is she otherwise? She behaved pretty well?
She's great. She's just wonderful. There's no other issues with her.
Well, Gary, excellent. Is there anything that Elizabeth can do that would make Jazzy as happy as going to the dog park, but not going to the dog park?
You know, a good hike with her. You're already doing two walks a day. I know you want to get her off leash and let her just tear around. I mean, I think that that's a hard thing to replace if you're going to a nice, safe dog park. I think that's just unfortunately the truth. I've got the same deal. I kind of was, you know, joking about my dog, Jake, but I cannot bring him to a dog park. He won't bite another dog, but he will do some annoying behaviors that actually alarm the owners and the dogs. So I can't bring him, and I know he could really benefit from it.
Like
so
what? What does he do? Steal their car keys or something?
And then drive away and then, you know, empty the tank.
Yeah.
He basically, he muzzle punches them.
Oh,
you know,
okay.
He takes his muzzle and he just punches the back of their neck, and it's a shepherd herding behavior that I can't really seem to break him off. So I've just, you know, realized I got to take him for hikes or take him, you know, to the beach or something like that. Unfortunately, his little sister Betty gets to be punished because she can't go to the dog park because Jake can't go to the dog park. So Elizabeth, it sounds like it's the same thing for Jazzy and her sister. Before you give up, get a trainer in just for maybe 3 consult visits, talk to you about, is there anything that they might have up their sleeve that might be able to redirect this girl? But I'll tell you, it's just the on switch, I think, for her. And she's like, beagles will do that too, and some hounds will do that. And it's just the on switch for her once she gets there. She's really excited.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Thank you, Elizabeth.
Good luck.
Our telephone number is 877-610-3647. Our website is WAMUAnimalHouse.org. Let's take a telephone call from Diana, who's calling us from McLean, Virginia. Diana, glad to have you with us in the Animal House. Question for Dr. Gary?
Yes. I have two tabbies who are almost 8 years old, and they're indoor cats, and they've been together their entire lives. And up until, like, maybe 2 months ago, they've been very close, gotten along great. They sleep, you know, nestled together and groom each other and everything. But a couple of months ago, they just started fighting all the time. and I have no idea why.
What mysterious event happened, Diana, at your house? That's what you have to figure out. They're indoor cats?
Yes.
Okay,
they've
so
never been outside.
And you didn't bring did you bring any other animals in?
No.
Mm-mm. Okay.
No, oh, no so, changes in the residences, and no different people, nothing weird. No, the
okay.
Same diet, you know.
Nothing, no construction, no outside. Here's one, outside cats. Have you seen any cats prowling around?
That has happened periodically over the last few years. I live on the ground level of a condominium, and sometimes a random cat will show up on the balcony, and they'll hiss at that cat through the door, the glass door.
Huh.
But
okay, yeah.
But then that's over. So when the cat leaves, and then they're done, and they get along, they get back. You know, they stop hissing.
Yeah, the hissing was as a team, but now the team seems to be in some danger here.
Yeah.
Today.
Yeah.
Well, there's
right.
two possibilities. One is that they actually have decided they don't like each other for whatever mysterious feline reason might occur. But the other one is more likely to me, and that's that something provoked this and they're redirecting on each other. And cats will really become instinctual when something is stressing or when they're anxious or frustrated about something. And, you know, most of the time it's another cat in the house because cat or near the house, you know, whether it's a outside cat, you know, that's getting closer because the winter's been pretty rough up in, you know, the mid-Atlantic as well as everywhere else in this country, except for where I am. So that's a possibility that maybe there is another cat prowling around. And, you know, it's amazing, Diana, it happens all the time. People don't see the cats outside, but cats do. And it makes them insane because they can't react to it. They can't defend the territory. But it's hard for me to say. If you absolutely can't think of a single solitary thing that's changed, then there's really nothing for you to address to have them revert back to the way they were. I would try some benign things first. I would try some feel away. It's a pheromone for cats. Make sure there's a lot of litter boxes. Make sure you exhaust these guys with other activities so that they don't have the energy to be angry with each other. And actually, how bad is it though? I mean, are they ever affable?
They're both declawed in the front. If they weren't, I think there would have been blood by now.
Okay.
I mean, yeah, they're fighting. And then sometimes they'll both get under the bed and start up in the middle of the night, in the middle of the day, whatever, and I can't even get to them to get them out.
Oh, boy.
It's just
really?
Crazy. It's around the clock, you know?
I think you need to have a behaviorist stop by. I really do, because you have a whole different situation going on with cats you've had for 6-7 years. So, I mean, that's something happened, and there's got to be something to actually get them back on the right road. And it may even be medication for those two, you know, until they have enough calm that they can forget about what has been provoking them. You need couples counseling for your two cats. I would recommend a veterinary behaviorist that can actually prescribe medications. They do a house call, and it's a relatively long one. It's great. It's 2 to 3 hours generally, maybe even longer, to really help you go through this and really investigate. Something is stressing these two, and it may only be one. And that's the beauty, and that's the real magic of what these behaviorists do, to help really identify who is stressing whom, and it may not even be the one you think is being stressed.
Okay. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. And thank you, Dr. Gary.
You're welcome, Sam.
For the Animal House, I'm Mary McCann, and this is Bird Note. As woodpeckers go, they're bold and conspicuous, thriving even in backyards and city parks east of the Mississippi. And red-bellied woodpeckers are unabashedly vocal. Some might say noisy. Wouldn't you agree? The red-bellied is a good-sized woodpecker, more than 9 inches tall. Sleek and handsome, its back is crisply barred, zebra-like in black and white. Its underside glows a warm buff, and the male sports a scarlet crown and nape. Like most woodpeckers, red-bellieds eat lots of insects, but they also like nuts, berries, and seeds. They can be attracted to backyards with suet cakes, berry bushes, or even a cut orange tacked to a tree trunk so they can enjoy the pulp and juice. But the red-bellied woodpecker retains one element of mystery, its name. Why call it red-bellied? Whoever first named the species must have had a wry sense of humor, for on this strikingly patterned bird, the last thing you would likely notice is a slight blush of rose on its lower belly.
Coming up in the Animal House, we visit a Japanese island with a cuddly distinction.